This is Joe Harris, your police reporter speaking. The American Broadcasting Company is about to present another famous jury trial. Fictionized dramatization of a case typical of many taken from court history.
Will everyone please rise? The judge is entering the courtroom.
Be seated.
Irene Miller, the defendant in this murder trial, is a mousy little woman of about 40. The big police matron with her makes Irene look even smaller than she is.
Hear ye, open session.
I doubt if she weighs 100 pounds. Her lawyer smiling at her reassuringly, but Irene doesn't seem to notice. She's scared to death.
Judge Gregory A. Harrison presiding.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you are the judges of the evidence to be laid before you. Be just and fear not, for the true administration of justice is the foundation of good government.
The people versus Irene Miller. For the people, James McMahon, Esquire, Assistant District Attorney. For the defendant, William J. Walters, Esquire.
The first time I met Irene Miller, the defendant, was the night Bill Krug of Homicide let me work the siren on the police car as we tore out to the home of Roger J. Simpson. Irene Miller was Mrs. Simpson's maid, and she was waiting for us at the door.
Hurry! Oh, please, hurry!
What's the trouble?
I heard a shot. She won't answer me. Oh, please do something.
Now, calm down. Tell me what happened.
Mrs. Simpson upstairs. Her door is locked. I can't get in. Oh, I know something awful has happened.
Show me.
It's right this way.
You're the same lady that called headquarters?
Yes, sir. See, I'm there under the door. Her lights are on, but she doesn't answer me. Oh, I know something has happened. I know something awful.
Please stand aside. Wait a minute, lady. Save your breath. The woman is dead. Plugged right through the heart.
Oh, no.
Well, I better phone headquarters and get started on the formalities. I don't want you to touch anything.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the state will submit evidence to prove that Irene Miller cunningly wormed her way into the confidence of Mrs. Florence Simpson for the purpose of larceny. That she alone had both the opportunity and the motive to commit this crime for which she has been indicted by the grand jury. Now, first things first. I would like to review briefly the events that led up to the crime. On the evening of August 10th, Florence Simpson sat at her writing desk in the study of her home. She was writing a letter to her husband who, for better or for worse, had fallen hopelessly in love with another woman.
What is it?
Mrs. Simpson, Mr. Martin is in the library.
Tell him I'll be right there, Irene.
Very well, ma'am.
Oh, darling.
I'm so glad you came. I was going to call you.
Well?
I've given Roger my answer. I just finished the letter.
And?
I've agreed to the divorce, Hal.
Oh, that's wonderful, Flo. I'll make plain reservations for Reno right away for tomorrow.
But, Hal, I'd rather not go tomorrow.
But I thought you wanted to get it over with as soon as possible.
I do, but tomorrow, can't wait a few days.
Flo, are you sure you want to go through with our marriage?
Why, of course I do.
You're absolutely sure?
Yes, but that doesn't mean...
All right, look, forget that letter. Phone your husband right now. Tell him what you're going to do in person. I'll get the number.
Wait, Hal.
I'm forgetting this over with quickly.
Long distance.
Operator, will you get me Oak Hill, California, 75217?
75217.
That's right.
Will you hold on, please?
Flo, I can't see any reason to postpone your divorce or our marriage. As long as you're sure, we'll both feel better when the whole thing's done. There it is now. Take the phone.
This isn't going to be so easy.
Hello?
Hello, Roger?
Flo? How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. I received your letter today.
I suppose you think I'm a dreadful coward.
On the contrary, I called you to tell you I'm going to give you your freedom.
Oh, Flo, I knew you'd understand.
And immediately, Roger.
What was that?
I'm flying to Reno tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yes. I want to finish it as quickly as possible and forget it.
Well, really, I didn't...
You see, Roger, you're not the only one. I, too, have fallen in love.
You're joking.
You weren't joking, were you?
Well, no, but... Well, is there anything I know?
Yes. Hal Martin.
Hal? How long has this been going on?
What does it matter now? In a few weeks, you can marry the woman you want, and I'll marry the man I want, and we'll both be happy.
You're in love with him, huh? Is he there now?
Yes.
I see. That's the way it is.
That's the way it is. Goodbye, Roger, and good luck.
Well, that's that. Now about a little celebration.
Oh, not tonight, Hal. I'm rather tired. It's been such a long day.
Would you rather be alone?
Oh, you're very sweet. Yes, I would tonight, if you don't mind. You won't be angry.
You're not upset?
No, of course not.
Can I take you to the plane tomorrow?
If you get the reservation, I'll insist on it.
Okay. Good night, darling.
Good night, Hal.
Pleasant dreams.
Hello?
Hello, Flo.
Yes, Roger. What do you want?
Don't you think we ought to have another talk?
As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing more to talk about.
Look, Flo, I can fly over there in a couple of hours.
I'm sorry. It's no use.
Listen, I've been thinking this whole thing over. And...
Goodbye, Roger. Irene? Oh, Irene? Irene, I'm going to fly to Reno tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow. Will you bring my bags up to my room?
Right away, Mrs. Simpson.
I'll go on up and get some things ready. Let me know. Well, I guess I'll take these. And...
Oh!
Come in, Irene.
Will this be enough?
Oh, yes. Put them down there.
Oh.
I've got to be packed by 9 in the morning. We'll do it after breakfast. I'm too tired now.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, and Irene.
Yes, ma'am?
I won't need these jewels. You better put them away now. I don't want to travel with them.
Oh.
Here, take the rest of them. Here's the key.
Yes. Will there be anything else?
Oh, that's all, Irene. Leave the key to the safe there on the dresser, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Good night, Irene.
Good night. And I hope you'll have a fine trip, Mrs. Simpson. If there's anything you need...
And, ladies and gentlemen, sometime during the next few hours, Florence Simpson was shot to death.
Oh!
Well... We will offer evidence that robbery was the motive and that Irene Miller is the only one who could have committed this crime. I call as my first witness, Captain Krug. Captain Krug, take the stand, please.
Irene Miller is staring straight ahead as if she had not heard a single word the prosecutor said. Captain Krug is on his way to the stand. This guy's quite a cop and he's been around a long time. This is just another trial as far as he's concerned. He's probably seen more murders in his days than he can
Captain
remember.
Captain Krug, will you tell us what happened on the night of August 10th and the morning of August 11th?
I got an urgent call from headquarters to go to the Simpson home. I jumped in a squad car and got there in 5 minutes.
Captain Krug, will you tell the court who met you at the door?
The defendant, Irene Miller.
Please continue.
Well, she was pretty excited and led me to Mrs. Simpson's door. I had to break it in. Mrs. Simpson was lying on the bed. The maid entered with me.
Mrs. Simpson! Mrs. Simpson!
It's no use, lady. Save your breath. The woman is dead.
Oh.
Blood right through the heart.
Oh.
Well, I'd better phone the court to get started on the formality.
Oh.
Captain Krug speaking. Give me police headquarters.
Oh, why did she do it?
She didn't do it, lady. This woman's been murdered. Paul Ryan, this is Krug. I'm out at Roger Simpson's place. Yeah, his wife's dead. Now pick up the medical examiner and hustle out there, will you? Okay, I'll be looking around.
Who could have done such a thing?
Someone she knew.
Why do you say that?
Because there's no sign of a struggle, no distortion in her face. She certainly wasn't frightened. Oh, there it is.
What?
The gun under the bed. See what I mean? People don't shoot themselves and throw the gun under the bed. One shot fired. Ever see this gun before?
No, never.
Who was in this house tonight?
Just Mrs. Simpson.
Did she have any visitors?
Yes, and Mr. Harold Martin.
Who's he?
A friend of Mrs. Simpson.
Where's Mr. Simpson?
Oh, he's away.
Suppose we start from the beginning, and please stop trembling. I'm not going to hurt you.
Yes, sir. Well... After Mr. Martin left, Mrs. Simpson went up to her room. I came up with the suitcases,
And then after I put her jewels away, as she told me to, I went to my room. I don't know how long I'd been asleep when I heard voices. They were coming from Mrs. Simpson's room.
Could you recognize them?
Only hers. And then I heard a shot. I was so scared I got up and sat on the edge of my bed. I was so scared.
So you've told me. How long did you sit there?
I don't know. It was a long time. Then I made myself open my door and crept down the hall to Mrs. Simpson's room. I called her. But she didn't answer. Then I called the police. That's all I know. I was very frightened and I thought that the police...
And, Captain Krug, that's all you could get out of the maid, Irene Miller?
Yes. In a few minutes, the medical examiner arrived. During his examination, I looked about the house and questioned the defendant further. I learned that Mrs. Simpson was in the habit of eating before she retired, and that Irene Miller always prepared these late evening snacks.
In the kitchen?
No, in a pantry. There was a chafing dish and small refrigerator in there.
Did anyone other than Irene Miller have access to this pantry?
Well, anyone could have gone in there, I suppose.
Captain Krug, what did you find in that pantry?
A diamond brooch. It was in the chafing dish.
Hey, will you speak up, please?
A diamond brooch. It was in the chafing dish. James Manfield, the jeweler, identified it as a piece he had made up for Mrs. Simpson for $12,000.
Thank you, Captain Krug. No more questions. Your witness?
No questions.
You can step down. Now will Mr. Harold Martin take the stand, please.
The assistant district attorney seems like a pretty smart man. His questions are direct and to the point, and he's made a good impression on the jury.
Mr. Martin.
Here he goes again.
You were a close friend of the deceased, were you not?
Yes.
Were you with Mrs. Simpson prior to the time she was murdered?
Yes.
Please tell the court what took place.
She telephoned her husband, told him she would agree to a divorce. It was her intention to leave the next morning for Reno to start proceedings. She appeared tired, asked me to leave, so I did. But several hours later, my telephone rang and Captain Krug told me to hurry to Mrs. Simpson's home. I guess it was about a half an hour later when I got there.
You see why I asked you to come over, Mr. Martin.
But this is impossible, Captain. I can't understand it. I was with Mrs. Simpson only a short time ago.
Did she seem depressed?
Well, on the contrary, she seemed in quite high spirits. We both were. You see, we were to be married after her divorce. I simply can't understand it.
Mr. Martin, do you know of anyone who might benefit financially by a death?
No. I can think of no one.
Can you think of anyone who might have committed this crime?
No, Wait a minute. How about her jewelry?
Did she keep it here in the house?
Yes, it's worth a fortune.
Irene?
Yes, sir?
Come here a minute. Where did Mrs. Simpson keep her jewelry?
Her jewelry?
You know where it is?
Why, it's in the wall safe. The key is on Mrs. Simpson's dressing table there.
Now open it, please.
Why, it's empty. There's nothing here.
Oh, I guess that clears that up.
Where are Mrs. Simpson's jewels, Irene?
I don't know. I put them in there last night.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Captain, I'm sure you can appreciate what a terrible shock this has been to me. If you don't mind, I'd like to go home.
Sure. Go home and get some rest. We'll be in touch with you.
Thank you. I appreciate the courtesy you've shown me. If I can be of further assistance.
Now, what time did you arrive home, Mr. Martin?
It's about dawn. I was completely exhausted and fell asleep. I don't remember anything until evening.
Thank you very much, Mr. Martin. Your witness.
Mr. Martin, the state contends that only the defendant knew that Mrs. Simpson kept many valuable jewels in her home. From your testimony, I would gather that you also were aware of this.
Yes, I knew that she kept some of her jewels at home.
Well, isn't it true that you were also aware of the exact location of them?
Why... Yes, I knew where she kept them.
That's all, Mr. Martin. State rests. Your Honor, I move for dismissal on the grounds that the state has failed to present any significant evidence to justify the charges against my client.
Denied. Please get on with the trial and call your first witness.
Your Honor, I would like to call attention to one very important fact that was glossed over in the medical examiner's report. I refer to the blood stain found on the carpet in the victim's bedroom. This stain was at least 15 feet from her bed and unquestionably marks the spot where the victim was shot. I contend that some person, much stronger than this 100-pound defendant, shot Florence Simpson and carried her 15 feet to her bed. My first witness will be the defendant herself. Will Irene Miller take the stand, please?
This frail woman walks fearfully to the stand.
Right here.
Thoughts are running through her head, I do not know. But from where I sit, she looks like a tragic, forlorn figure without hope or friends. She's taking the oath. Can you hear her?
I do.
All right, be seated.
Irene, how long had you worked for Mrs. Simpson?
About 12 years.
During that time, were you ever in any difficulties with her?
Oh, no, sir.
Were you fond of her?
Yes, sir. I liked Mrs. Simpson.
Was she kind to you?
She was kind to me. She was always kind to me.
Now, when you left Mrs. Simpson's room, was that the last time you saw her alive?
Yes.
In the story that you told Captain Krug and later related by him on the stand about how you were awakened by a shot, you stated that you were unable to arouse your mistress and that you phoned the police and that you were unaware of her death until Captain Krug broke open the door and discovered the body. Do you wish to change any of that testimony now?
No. No, it's the truth. Just like I swore, the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
I'm sure of it. Did you in any way whatsoever contribute to your employer's death?
Oh, no. I swear it. I told you everything. I have nothing to conceal while you torture
yes,
me.
Thank
like
you.
This.
Thank you, Irene. That's all. That's all. You're with us. Now, Irene, I don't want to frighten you. We're all after the same thing, the truth. But there are some questions that I'm sure the jury would like to have answered. For example, you testified that you heard strange voices in Mrs. Simpson's room.
Yes, and I did, too.
Was Mrs. Simpson in the habit of entertaining in her bedroom after you'd retired?
Oh, no, sir. Never, sir.
Now, Irene, really, did you hear these voices at all?
Yes. Oh, yes, I did. I said so. Yes,
oh,
I did.
That is your story, huh? And you're going to stick to it. Well, let's get on to the next question. The brooch. You know it was found in a chafing dish that was kept in a part of the pantry that only you worked in. Can you give us any help on that mystery?
No, I don't know how it got there.
All right. We'll go on to the next question. Do you admit that you were the only one who had regular access to Mrs. Simpson's bedroom?
Yes, sir.
Did Mrs. Simpson lock her door when she retired?
Yes, always.
But the key to that bedroom is missing.
I know that.
When Mrs. Simpson retired, she locked her door, yet the key to her door is missing.
I think that's funny, too.
I'm sure you do. It would seem to me, then, that the door to her bedroom had been locked from the outside.
I guess so.
Then it is reasonable to assume that the murderer, after shooting the victim, removed the key from the inside of the door, walked out of the bedroom, closed the door, locked it from the outside, hid the key, and phoned the police.
You're trying to accuse me. That's what you're trying to do.
My dear lady, you're already accused. You've been indicted. And if the jury has not had enough already to convict you, I'll give them plenty more.
Unless my colleague has some serious objection, perhaps he will allow the jury to decide the fate of the defendant.
Does the defense wish to object?
I do, Your Honor.
I can't say that I approve the prosecution's tactics in the handling of this witness. Objection sustained. Any more questions?
No, Your Honor, that's all. Step down, please.
Will Margaret Heflin take the stand, please?
Margaret Heflin's a smart, attractive woman. She looks like she's been around a bit and back again. She's just a bit overdressed, a little too flashy, I should think, to impress an average jury.
Margaret, will you please explain to the court just what your relationship is with Mr. Roger Simpson?
We're going to be married.
Oh, then you were the cause of Mr. Simpson asking his wife for a divorce.
I guess so.
Were you with Mr. Simpson on the night of August 10th?
For a while.
Did he get any phone calls?
Yes. His wife. She agreed to divorce him so he could marry me.
Yes. How long were you with Mr. Simpson in Oak Hill, California?
About 2 weeks.
You flew out there with him, didn't you? How long did it take you to make the trip?
It's only about 2 hours by plane.
About 2 hours. And did you find the plane service good?
Fine. There's a plane about every hour.
I see. Now, after Mr. Simpson talked with his wife and complained of a headache, what did you do?
I left him.
What time was that, please?
I'm not sure exactly. I think it was sometime between 9 and 10 o'clock.
And when did you next see Mr. Simpson?
It was noon the next day. I met him for lunch. It was in a small but very nice restaurant.
Sorry I was late, dear.
You look terrible, Roger. I hope the prospect of our marriage isn't too much for you.
What was that?
You're not paying any attention to me.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. Forgive me.
Roger, since the phone call last night from your wife, you've been acting like a doomed man. Look, if you want to call our marriage off, it's okay with me. I won't die from the shock.
Oh, no, it isn't anything like that.
Well, then what is it?
I guess I'm a little confused, that's all. Hey, this is a fine way for us to be acting almost on our wedding day. Hey, here, Margaret. Get a little gift for you.
Oh, Roger, it's gorgeous. Well, I've never seen anything so wonderful in my life.
I'm glad you like it.
It's simply out of this world. Look, Roger, when did you buy this for me?
Hmm? Well, why, matter of fact, just this morning.
I see. Just this morning.
Why do you look at me in that way?
There's something about you I don't understand. I have a...
Margaret, I have to tell you something.
What is it?
I had a phone call a few minutes ago. That's why I was late.
What about it?
It was from home.
Yes?
It was the police.
Roger.
It's Florence.
Well, what's happened?
She's dead.
Dead? Florence is dead? Oh, no, Roger.
It's horrible, Margaret. I can't help but blame myself for it.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, leaving my wife alone, coming out here...
When did it happen?
This morning. I couldn't believe it at first.
Oh, it's horrible.
Well, I guess we'll just have to postpone things for a while. They want me back there to answer some questions.
Yes, of course. You must go right away. And Roger.
Yes, dear?
I think maybe you'd better keep the necklace for a while.
But why?
Do I have to explain?
All right, Margaret, if that's the way you feel about it, I'll keep it till another day.
Margaret, I'm sure the court would be very interested to know why you returned that necklace.
Because I was afraid.
Afraid? Of what?
Roger told me he had bought it that morning.
Yes, go on.
I knew he didn't buy it.
How did you know that?
The clasp was worn. I knew it wasn't a new necklace.
But Mr. Simpson is a very wealthy man. Why would he give you a second-hand necklace?
Well, that's what worried me. It seemed odd. I couldn't understand it.
Had you any suspicions as to whom the necklace might have belonged?
I object.
Objection sustained.
In that case, I have no more questions. Your witness.
No questions.
Are there any other witnesses?
Defense rests, Your Honor, ready for summation.
You may proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, please remember that the state's case is based on circumstantial evidence. No one saw Mrs. Simpson killed. The defendant, Irene Miller, was arrested and charged with this crime because she happened to be the only one at the scene of the crime. Now, we do not deny that Florence Simpson was killed by someone she knew and trusted. But Irene Miller isn't the only one who had the confidence of Florence Simpson. Her husband wouldn't have aroused her suspicions. He could have flown from Oak Hill, murdered his wife, and flown back with a necklace that he gave Margaret Heflin, all within the space of a few hours. He's failed to prove his whereabouts on that fateful night. And I dare say Harold Martin, the man she intended to marry, could have gotten away with this. No one saw him leave the Simpson home that evening. But these men are wealthy. And robbery is supposed to be the motive for this crime. But, ladies and gentlemen, robbery was not the motive. Do you think that Irene Miller would be stupid enough to murder for jewelry that she could never dispose of and leave $250 in cash in the victim's purse? That's what they found in it. Irene Miller did not commit this crime. He's as innocent as any one of you. The guilty person will be found today, tomorrow, sometime. And so long as there's a reasonable doubt in your mind, your duty is to find Irene Miller not guilty. Thank you.
Is the prosecution ready to sum up?
We are, Your Honor.
Please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have no fear of your being misled by my colleague's attempts to divert your thinking by sly suggestions that someone else might have murdered Florence Simpson. I'll admit that Irene Miller acted clumsily, but that was because she had to act quickly. Irene Miller deposited the jewels in the secret compartment. The temptation of years came to a sudden climax in her undeveloped mind. She grabbed up the revolver and fired. The rest, I'm sure you know. How she hid part of the loot in the chafing dish, how she closed the bedroom door and locked it from the outside. Naturally, there was no look of fear on the dead woman's face. Why would she suspect that her maid was planning to kill her? Only the defendant had the motive as well as the opportunity to commit this crime. The evidence is overwhelming and painfully conclusive. If justice is to be done, your verdict must be guilty. Thank you.
Wait a second. This is rather interesting. Something seems to be happening to Margaret Heflin. She's talking with the prosecutor, and so is Roger Simpson. Margaret is getting up now. She's walking around the prosecutor to a chair on the other side. The prosecutor's between them. Now, Simpson seems to be talking very emphatically. Yes, something is wrong somewhere. Wait a minute. The DA is going up to the bench. I think we can catch him.
Your Honor, I've been talking with two of the state's witnesses. I have an important announcement to make.
Well, what's been going on at your table? You may continue.
Thank you, Your Honor. If the court please, I would like to report a conversation I've just had with Margaret Heflin and Roger Simpson, both state witnesses. Miss Heflin has suddenly become mortally afraid of the man she was going to marry, Roger Simpson. The reason for that fear will become evident in a moment or two. Roger Simpson has requested permission to address the court.
Simpson doesn't seem to be able to stand up. He's going to talk sitting down. I think we can get his voice for you.
This is the way it happened. I took a plane at 9:30, went straight to my house. I still had my key. Slipped in and I killed my wife. I took the jewels to make it look like robbery.
Why did you do it, Roger?
Hal Martin was going to marry her. I thought I was through with her until I realized Hal was going to get her. I'm sorry I put Irene through all this. Now I'm tired.
I knew it was coming. All the other reporters figured this guy was in it up to his ears. Irene Miller will get a directed verdict of acquittal. Roger Simpson can't do anything now except throw himself on the mercy of the court. The chances are he'll get life. And now I'll turn the microphone over to our announcer. So ends another famous jury trial, brought to you each week by the American Broadcasting Company. Next week, the American Broadcasting Company will present the trial of the People versus George Deller. Famous jury trials are prepared under the direction of a noted New York attorney. All names, times, and places are fictional. This trial was written and produced by John L. Clark, directed by Clark Andrews. Defense attorney was Eric Dressler, prosecutor Frank Reddick. Others in the cast were Alice Frost, Ed Fuller, Roger DeCoven, Ernest Graves, Peggy Allenby, Martin Wolfson, and Jane Lauren. Be sure to listen next week when the American Broadcasting Company presents another famous jury trial. This program came to you from New York. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.